Welcome back. Another episode of Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Hilton, here with the one, the only, Kelsey Conway. And today we got episode 5 with a real special guest, your new starting safety. Y'all give it up for Dax Hill. Dax, welcome to the show.
Appreciate y'all. Appreciate y'all for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. We've been waiting to get you in here. Yeah. So we're excited about it.
People to know Dax, man. This is going to be fun. You know, just be yourself, man. So just, we're going to start with just who is Dax Hill, man? Just like you said, you're a soft-spoken dude, but, you know, just who are you as a person outside of football?
Sure. I mean, I'm a family guy. I love to be around, you know, my, you know, friends, family. You know, I always grew up around being around someone. So I'm just, you know, having fun outside of football, you know, don't always think about football, but, you know, have a life outside of football. So, you know, born and raised Tulsa, Oklahoma, you know, small city, but I just love to get out, you know, experience different things, different cities, you know, love to travel. So that's me in a nutshell.
Since you brought up your family, I guess we should, how many Hills are there?
Just one, just me and my brother. Yeah. 3 years older than me. But
let's talk about your brother.
Yeah.
Who is your brother?
Justice Hill. He plays for the Baltimore Ravens. It's going on his 5th year. Just signed a 2nd contract. So
okay.
Congrats to him on that. Shout out to him.
That's big.
If he ever sees this. But but yeah, I mean, we grew up together, close, always competitive. You know, he was always 3 years older than me, so I kind of wanted to, you know, one up him. But, you know, close relationship. So still close to the day.
So tell me about that first moment, both of y'all on the NFL field at the same time. Like, just take us through that moment.
It was kind of just surreal. I mean, just where we came from, not a lot of people making out where we came from. We have a few guys that's still in the league right now. But it's kind of really just us. We're kind of the talk of the town, you know, humbly. But really just being out on the same field with him, you know, at this level, I mean, kind of just shows all the hard work we put in together. Obviously, older than me, so he did his work, and I kind of watched him in the background. But as I got older, I kind of just saw how he, you know, took that path, and that kind of just led me to where I'm at today. So I kind of give him a little bit of credit of where I'm at today. So, yeah.
Did your mom wear a split jersey when you guys play?
Nah, not really. I feel like it's going to come probably this year. Last year, I think my dad, he was rocking the Bengals jersey, and my mom, she was rocking the Ravens. But I feel like they may split it down a little. We go see how it work out this year.
So did he play when you – how many times have you gone up against his brother?
I want to say it had to be twice. Well, if we're not counting here, I was playing him in Pittsburgh. Yeah. So I want to say 2 or 3 times before I came here. So.
Yeah. What do you think about its game?
Fast. Speed, that's obviously something that runs in their family because he can run also. But speed, athleticism, he's a real good back. He just does, you know, he doesn't get the touches because some of the guys in front of him, obviously Lamar quarterback, but when he does get the touches, he's explosive.
Did you ever talk to him about Lamar when he was going through all that contract stuff? Like, did you ever say, like, is he going to actually come back and play for you, or did you kind of stay out of it?
I mean, he told me a little bit. Obviously, they knew they were going to work something out, you know, with just, like, the market. Like, it's Lamar. Like, they're going to have to. I mean, he's, like, the franchise player. Like, they gotta have some way to figure it out. But he knew something was going to happen. So he didn't tell me much, obviously, because he didn't really know the whole situation. But he told me a little bit about it.
Since we're talking about him, I don't think I've asked you, and now I can ask you both, because did you play a lot? Was that one of the games where you were starting?
Against him?
Lamar? Or was he out when you were this year, when you played him? Because Lamar had that injury.
Yeah, we played.
Are you talking about playing against my brother or playing in
Lamar?
First game, played him a little bit. I mean, he was out there, but.
Oh, right. Because it was that Sunday night game.
Sunday night game.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the season.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Obviously, he's a challenge, but as two people that have gone up against him, I mean, how unique is he?
One of a kind. It's obvious how fast and elusive he is on TV, but when you're actually down there on the field with him, it's a totally different speed. And just throughout the week, it's hard to, you know, to recreate that type of speed and athleticism to get ready for. But, man, he's one of the best players in all of football, and people want to say he really can't pass, but he's able to put mm-hmm. put the ball on the money when he needs to. That's the thing. When he needs to, he can make all the throws.
I definitely say, like, whenever – so my first time, whenever we played him that Sunday night, my role during the week was basically to spy him. That's how you know, like, he's a good player. Like, if you have to have a spy player for him specifically – like, that's your job. That's solely your job. Like, don't worry about anything else besides spying on. Yeah. So that was my job. And I already knew what I was going up against. So great player.
I remember that game because Nelly performed at halftime.
See, we don't be knowing all that.
I was thriving in the press box.
I didn't even know that.
Middle school Kelsey was just having a little.
We missed all the halftime shows.
They say you press boxes are very business.
Yeah.
Like, and there's no cheering in the press box. That's the rule for media.
Mm-hmm. Is that like a real rule?
Yes.
Y'all can't cheer?
No. Yes. And like, if you do, the PA announcer will get on and it'll be like, reminder, this is a working press box.
And yeah, they take it too serious.
Yeah, that, really serious.
They try to take shots. Why not during the ads?
Yeah. Everywhere? Every stadium or just?
It's just it's just the rule. Right. And Nelly performed at halftime and I like scooted out of the press box into like the radio box so I could listen. So I'm like, I'm actually not going to be quiet for this. But where did Justice go to college?
Oklahoma State.
Okay. So he stayed around where you guys grew up and you decided to go your own direction.
Yeah, I went far. I went 16 hours away in the cold weather. Caught your shot. Everything. I was far away. My parents was like, you good up there? I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'm independent. Like, I can do my own thing. But yeah, I was far away. Well, he stayed in state.
What made you choose Michigan over the hometown, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State? You know what I mean?
Shoot. I mean, it was really, I wanted to do something different. A lot of my homies, they were staying, you know, in the city or they were like in the neighboring states, Arkansas, Missouri. But I just wanted to do something different. Then I vibe with the coaches, the players that were there. So that was really it. And where I kind of just wanted to, you know, start my college career, I could kind of see it starting at Michigan. So that's why I pulled the trigger on Michigan.
Well, speaking of Michigan and the Ravens ties, was the Ravens defensive coordinator, Mike McDonald, your defensive coordinator at Michigan? Because isn't that where he came from?
Yeah, he was for a year. I mean, that was a quick year, but like, man, it was just a total, you know, 360 whenever he came around. Obviously, being at the Ravens for, I think, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that, as a linebackers coach. We kind of just brought that over, you know, to Michigan. So I'm glad that I had that year underneath my belt. You know, he taught me a lot of things about football I didn't really know. So it's just, you know, progression with him. So I'm glad that I had that time with him.
Well, when you ask all the Bengals offensive players what defense is the most challenging, Burrow and a couple of the guys will say the Ravens. Right. Mm-hmm. That's given them the most difficulties. And obviously, you know, the wild card game, how close that one was. Right. What is it about his scheme, since you played in it, that's so hard for an offense to go up against?
I mean, it's really like multidimensional, I would say. Like, different players could play different positions. You know, they have people, like, obviously the draft, like, they have people in certain spots. But I feel like it's very diversified. They can move people in different spots. So it's not really, okay, he's in this spot, he's going to play this position. You know, so it's well-rounded, I would say.
All right, Dash, you're going into year two, man. You got on the field some your rookie year, mm-hmm. you know, got some experience. But what do you expect personally from yourself going into year two?
I'm just looking myself in the mirror, telling myself, like, this is just football. Like, even though that year was a rookie year, it played out the way it played out. Like, I know who I am. I'm here to, you know, prove to myself that I know I can play. So it's just, you know, getting out there, having fun with y'all. I mean, I seen the amount of fun y'all had last year. So, you know, I'm ready to rock out with y'all. So it's, you know, it's going to be a fun year.
Well, I'll ask it since I know it's probably awkward for you to ask this. When you get drafted, you come into a situation where you know you're not going to start. Mm-hmm. How was that mentally for you? Because you're a first round draft pick, and that's what people assume, that when you're taken in the first round pick, you're immediately supposed to become a starter. But you were mm-hmm. in a unique situation in that Jesse is one of the best at his position, and no matter how good you are going to be or were at the time, you're probably never going to replace him. So for you mentally, how was coming into a situation where you feel like you're at the top of your career at Michigan, you get drafted in the first round, and then you're kind of going into a situation where you don't know how much you're going to get on the field?
Yeah, I mean, I really just had to, you know, tell myself, I mean, it's not really the time. I mean, there's seasons of life. I was telling myself, like, whenever I came in, you know, I was in for a little bit, you know, during training camp. But then, you know, that first week came around, I was like, damn, I'm on a, like, back burner. But I knew it was all for a reason. You know, I just trust, you know, myself. I trust, you know, God. I mean, he put me in the situation. And so all this hard work I done did, like, I know it's going to pay off eventually. So I wasn't really tripping, but at the same time, I knew, you know, what I could bring. But, you know, sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you want it to. So, you know, it's all timing.
Mike, I want to ask you on the flip side of that, because your perspective as a vet is interesting to me in this situation. If you were Jesse, or say next year they draft a slot corner.
Yeah.
I know you guys are, and when you get in the locker room, it's a family, but you know, you hear the stories about how mad Aaron Rodgers was when they drafted Jordan Love.
Right.
How do you deal with knowing that your replacement is essentially here?
So it, in a sense, is, you know, that time eventually is going to come because you were that guy to replace somebody else before, you know, and I just feel like that's something every athlete has to go through. You know, we're all competitive people. We all want to be that guy to be the starter, or just be the guy that can get on the field. But we know it's going to take steps. You know, you're going to go through your career, but then somebody else is going to come right behind you. But that's the part of being a veteran. You can't take it personally. You know, you definitely want to put the team first, mm-hmm. and show that next guy, you know, this is how we do things here. You know, follow my lead, and I can try to get you on the field. Like, I want you to beat me out, but I'm not going to let you beat me out, in a sense. You know what I mean? And it's just, especially me being that veteran guy, I try to show that leadership and try to tell guys, like, all right, your time is coming. It might not be week one. Shoot, it might be week seven. It might be week 17 when, you know, we really need you. You just got to be ready when that time is called. So as a veteran, just, you know, showing guys the right way.
How was Jesse with you when I heard that? I think when someone asked you when you got drafted, you know, have you heard from Jesse? What did you learn from Jesse and Vaughn last year? And how was that relationship with you guys?
Really just like how to approach the game, you know, going to game day, how I noticed, like, during the week they were, you know, locked in, but at the same time they were having fun. But during, you know, as time got closer to game day, I noticed, you know, a switch turned on, like they were like in game mode. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I really noticed about how they prepare, you know, during the week, you know, they're focused on the field, you know, have fun at the same time. But that's what I learned from them. And, you know, don't take it, you know, as serious as it is. Like, we all play, we've been playing football all our life. So, like, whenever you're out there, it's just football. Like, you think it's,
for sure.
You think it's really, like, outside looking in, you think it's going to be a lot because you're not playing. But once you're out there, it's just normal, you know. So, I learned a lot from them, though.
What'd you learn from hanging with Vaughn and Jesse?
Oh, two years. I'm gonna start with Vaughn. Me and Vaughn actually known each other since high school, so
Georgia.
Mm-hmm. So we kind of already had a relationship, and once I got here, he kind of, you know, just kind of took me under his wing and showed me around the city. You know, meeting people around the organization, and you know, me and him been knowing each other for a long time. And then Jesse, I knew about him. Me playing with Pittsburgh, and you know, obviously watching the Bengals for a couple of years, I knew who he was as a player. But then once I got to really meet him and sit down and talk to him, you know, he's a genuine dude. You know, he loves his family, he loves football, and you can just tell he cared about his teammates. So, mm-hmm. Shout out to those guys, man. We'll see, just we'll see you preseason.
Both of those guys, I mean, I started covering the Bengals last year, and they both couldn't be nicer to talk to when you have to interview them. And from what I heard from the media, that Jesse went kind of through the bad years when the Bengals were really losing a lot, he was always the guy in the locker room that no matter how bad the game was or if he didn't play well, he was always willing to talk to the media, and he just seems like a pro's pro. So I wish them the best of luck, too, absolutely. Because they were both really awesome to deal with. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of interesting because you guys were kind of the nucleus of the defense. Yeah. And now Dax is going to be starting. Yep. Nick Scott's going to be starting. Cam, of course, got experience, but he's still pretty young. Mm-hmm. So it's like you and Cheeto are kind of the old guys in the room.
we take pride in that, though. We know these guys. They're ready. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? We see them every day. We know how hard they work, and we know how much time they're going to put in to try to help us win the Super Bowl. So we know the moment's not going to be too big for them, and we're really excited. I'm really excited for him to get full-time reps and really show what he's able to do.
Yeah, so I have a couple questions that lead into that. Mm-hmm. When you were saying that it was God's plan to bring you here, mm-hmm. even though you weren't going to be able to start in the position you want to play, do you feel like you filling in for Mike when he was out with, what was your finger?
The one he, that was Tampa, that was my knee, actually.
Yeah.
That was my knee.
Because you missed how many games last year?
Two.
You were starting at the slot corner role, mm-hmm. which now opens you up to more things that you can do in a defense. Did you feel like that was, I guess, the silver lining of the position you were in last year?
Yeah. I mean, you never want to see an injury. I mean, we all brothers, you know, at the same time, so you don't want to see anyone go down. But, you know, whenever your name is called, I mean, you said silver lining. Like, I feel like that's another opportunity, you know, for, you know, someone to step in and, you know, really just carry the load of the person that we're down. So it's really just like, it's not really just about like, oh, he's down, like, I'm going to take a spot. It's really just like, you show what you can do, and then, you know, you just represent it. You represent the defense, but you represent, I would say, you represent whoever went down. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's kind of weird to, you know, like, really put in the words, but it's really not just, oh, this is my position. It's really just like, okay, I'm really just here since you down, but I'm going to still get my best efforts.
What game do you feel like in the limited times you were able to be out there, not on special teams, did you feel like was your true moment that you felt like was your best moment, play, or game? And then I want to ask you which game you thought was his, or which play you thought was what you're going to see more of from Dax Hill?
It was a combination of games. I would say special teams. I mean, I was, you know, making some plays on special teams. Gunner, I was really just like shaking some guys for real. Like, if I really wanted to, like, if I wanted to, you know, to, you know, blow past a guy, like, I would do that.
Three speed.
Nah, for real. Like, sometimes I was just like, man, whatever. I'm going to just try to make the tackle. So I made a few plays on, you know, punt. And then I would say I made a few plays, I would say, during the playoffs. One that I can remember off the top of my head is Buffalo.
Same one.
I was like, okay.
What happened? Refresh my memory.
It was like red zone. Yep. Knox, like, he was getting active late in the season. I think he had like five, six games where he was scoring touchdowns. So I knew that was my role that week, just guarding him. So I knew he was going to run like a certain route. Like, he ran certain routes in the red zone. Yep. So I anticipated him doing a certain route, and I broke on it. So that was one of, you know, the best plays I'd have made for sure.
Yeah, he took it right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was about to say. Playoff game, him guarding one of the best young tight ends in football, in the league. And, you know, he's able to go mano a mano with him and hold his own. So we kind of knew, you know, that was one of those moments. Even in the playoff game, a lot on the line, you know, Dax is ready, and he's a guy we expect to make a big jump for us.
Is that the role? Well, not at free safety. But do you envision yourself having to go up against tight ends more often? Like, is he the new matchup tight end guy in the defense? Because Trey Flowers obviously filled that role for you guys.
I don't want to say too much. Yeah, we got some schemes.
The reason I ask is because your size, how tall are you?
6'1". It don't matter.
I mean, because Trey was how tall? He was tall.
About 6'3".
Yeah. Like, you go up against some pretty big tight. I mean, the NFL tight ends now are
6'6", and can run.
Massive. Yeah. How challenging was that specific matchup for you to get used to in the NFL?
I mean, it was definitely a challenge. You're not really seeing that type of size and speed moving in college. So that was like an adjustment. But you get the hang of it. You already know what you're going to go up against during the week. So, yeah, I mean, that was something I had to get used to. But, I mean, that's the NFL.
Point blank period. And we put him on the island. Like, I remember we doubled Diggs, doubled Gabriel Davis inside the red zone. So we knew where the ball was going. Right. And it was one-on-one, him versus Knox. And you know, Dax got the win. That's when we knew.
Coming to me too.
Not to ruffle any feathers, but since we're talking about the Bills in that game, did you guys see the clip about one of the Bills players? I forget. I believe it was Isaiah McKenzie who said that if they had a dome.
He said a dome. He didn't say dry weather. He wanted to say a dome.
They would have beaten you guys. You have anything to say about that?
No.
Okay.
Next subject, because y'all going to get me started.
How you going to say that?
Well, I feel like, Son, let me know if you agree with this. Some of the most interesting conversations we've had with guys that have come in here has been what positions they used to play.
Yeah.
Like Cam Taylor-Britt used to be a quarterback. Nick Scott was a running back who got beaten out by Saquon. Sorry, Nick, we just had to say that. But what position did you play in high school?
Same thing, really. Free safety. I play receiver, so on the offensive side, I can move a little bit.
You ain't putting up them numbers, though.
100+. 100+. I'm looking like Jamar, for real. But receiver and safety.
So did you get recruited to play in it, or you...
Recruit at receiver?
Yeah.
Not really. I didn't really have a lot of buzz on the offensive side, but it's really just safety.
Just safety.
Yeah.
You keep talking about how fast he is. Yeah. What does that allow him to do at free safety speed?
Cover sideline to sideline, you know, protect everybody on the deep ball. Whether, you know, they're going to make catches and stuff, but we feel like Dax will close that space and at least get them down for a tackle. But when you have a guy that's a 4-3, you know, just back there roaming, you as a corner, you feel a lot better about, you know, being a little slower on routes and kind of trying to undercut certain routes, because you know the guy over the top is not going. He's not going to let anybody behind him, and he's a sure tackler. So we feel like with a guy like that, you know, we can be more aggressive on the outside.
What did you run a 40-yard dash at the combine?
4.37, I believe.
Wow. Speed. I'm telling
that's
you.
That's moving.
It's crazy. Everybody in our secondary, besides me, I'll be honest, besides me, probably runs 4.3. I think everybody besides me runs a 4.3.
So you think that's might be something that's a little bit underrated right now, is you think you guys are going to have a pretty fast...
Yeah, absolutely.
Secondary.
It's going to definitely be hard for teams to get over the top of us. We feel like with our speed, you know, we're going to just make it difficult. And we know what the guys up front, all we got to do is cover for a couple seconds, and those guys will do their job. So we know what the speed we got. We feel confident.
What's the biggest whiff both of you had so far in your career?
Biggest
like where
whiff?
You just took the wrong angle, or it was just bad?
I'm sure I got plenty on tape. I can't point out one. I've been around for a while, but I'm sure it's been plenty. That's actually a good question. I might have to go back and check that out.
For real, I gotta go.
Especially
back
from
like
this
that.
Past year.
Oh, I'm sure some of our podcast listeners might do it for us.
Are you talking about like in general, like our entire career?
No, just in the NFL.
Oh, in the NFL? Oh, I ain't got I can't think.
You gotta give me some time on that one.
Yeah, nothing for you.
Going to Michigan, you've seen the Michigan, Ohio State, the big house, the crowd. Mm-hmm. How would you say it compares to a full house at Paycor?
You can be honest. You can be honest.
It depends on what game it was. Like, if it's a regular day, it's no comparison. Like, Big Ten football, Big Ten football. Like, it's not really comparable to that. But I would say, like, if it was a big-time game, I would say it's up there. But it just depends on what type of game it is.
Right. Well, isn't Michigan, like, 110? I think it's similar to Penn State.
That's wild. 110.
Me and Nick, we go back and forth because it's like we know, like we have the same amount of people, but like I don't know, like Michigan can get up there too, but Penn State really can get up. Yeah,
it was
I'm telling you, like the whiteout games are definitely like the memorable games. Okay. Like
I can see that.
I say whiteout. I don't know, like a regular day with Penn State. I don't know how it sounds, but a whiteout definitely.
So what about Ohio State? Lined up in
I've
there.
Never been in there.
Yeah.
So my freshman year, we played at the big house, and then COVID happened. And we was back at the Big House my junior year. So
you only played 3 years in Michigan?
Yeah, so I never got a chance to play at the Ocean.
I didn't know that.
That's so interesting.
I think I'm like the only player that's never played since going to Michigan. Like, I've never played in Ocean.
That's wild.
What was the experience like playing for Jim Harbaugh?
We go be working. I'll tell you, like, them training camp days in general, just throughout the year, it's very, like, strenuous. Like, they got us in there right after classes. I mean, you're going to be straining too. But, you know, after that, I mean, you'll be, you know, typical practice, but it's just a lot more that goes into it.
Overall, are you glad you went to Michigan?
All right, yeah, for sure. I mean, just hindsight, a lot of good people there. Good people, alumni, you know, the coaches, all, you know, genuine people.
If I were to ask you if Dax Hill is not at the facility, what would you guess he'd be doing when he's not watching tape or working out? See how well your teammate knows you.
I don't know, because Dax is so... He's not an introvert, but he's just a real soft-spoken, quiet dude. Until he gets comfortable around you.
Once he gets comfortable,
it's hard to tell what Dex does outside the building. I'll say he's probably playing games, you know, like...
Playing the game.
There you go. See how you remember from a couple episodes. I can see him doing that. I don't know. Dex is really... He's like an onion. You got to peel him back layer by layer.
How far into that onion are you at right now? Still got a ways to go?
Still got a ways to go.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, we need to do more stuff outside.
We do.
Well, so we could just ask the source, what do you like to do when you're not playing football?
I'm really traveling. I mean, whenever we have breaks, I'm traveling. Because I'm to and from Michigan, different parts of Michigan. I love Michigan. But I'm really just, you know, chilling. I mean, Cincinnati, you're not going to really be doing much. But
mean that in the wrong way, fans.
But, I mean, I enjoy the city. I try to get out. I'm a homebody, but at the same time, I like to experience, you know, the city. So,
you like a gamer, a Netflix person?
Definitely like a Amazon Prime guy. Like, I'm always on Amazon Prime. Like, I love the different series. Like,
what's your favorite Amazon Prime series?
Snowfall, for sure. I just got done with it, actually.
Just finished.
I haven't heard about that one.
You should try it out.
What's it
you
about?
You gotta pay for it though.
Okay,
it's not free.
Might be free on Hulu though. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about being able to watch Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime this past year?
I don't think it's no different. I mean, you know.
I mean,
Amazon, they still getting our money. You know what I'm saying? So,
How do you feel about, since we're talking about Thursday Night Football, the rule that was passed recently that you guys could potentially play more than one Thursday night game? Because I thought it was interesting. Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce have a podcast. It's very popular. We're coming for you, New Heights show. But they said, I can't believe players would have a problem with it because essentially you have 3 walkthroughs that week. You don't have real practice and then you get the weekend off. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they were saying for players, it's actually not that bad. But a lot of people said when it was originally passed that this is the NFL saying they don't care about like player health and, you know, all of that. So how do you guys feel about that possibility?
Personally, I don't like it. I never was a fan of Thursday night games, but, you know, it's kind of part of our job, just something we have to do. And now with the possibility of having 2 within 1 year, you know, that's tough. If they do that, make sure it's like early in the season, then late in the season. Like, don't do it middle of the season, back to back, just...
You can't do it back.
You can't. Like, I understand what they were talking about as far as just walkthroughs, but you know, I still feel like you need some full practices for an NFL game, and that makes a difference.
I mean, just to piggyback off what he said, I mean, it's a long season. You just need that break in between each game. So Thursday night game, I mean, everything's revved up. Everything's, you know, a lot quicker. Installs quicker. That entire week is quicker. So, like you said, I'm not a fan of it. I mean, I'm still trying to play it out. Like, I really don't even know. It's just I'm still the young butt, so I'm still trying to figure it all out. But yeah.
What point, since we're talking about how long of a season is, at what point last season did your body, because college football essentially ends beginning of December, right?
Just depends.
If you're playing in the college football playoff. But you guys get a decent amount of the month off before the bowl games. At what point, which week during the NFL season, did your body maybe hit a wall?
I would say like toward the middle, toward the back end of it. My Cleveland game, I would say the second time we played Cleveland. That's when I really started to feel it.
That just was a bad game. That was a bad overall. Game. That was a bad Halloween.
Got embarrassed on national TV on Halloween. I remember that.
And Cheeto went down just bad vibes, spooky vibes.
The second time we played them, though. Like, you talking about
early December?
Yeah.
I think it was like December 11th.
That was like the very first time, like, I actually felt my body shut down. Like, I really had to, like, look at myself. I'm like, wow, do I really, like, love playing football? Like,
really?
Just second guess.
Not really, but it's just like, wow. Like,
it takes a toll on you.
It's really a lot that you really have to, you know, take control of what you want to do. Like, if you don't have a routine, I mean, that's going to be on you. But
has there been anything, whether it be massages, acupuncture, things that you didn't do in college that you now have to do because of the length of the season that you learned last year?
Yeah, I really tapped into it right when I got here. I was really heavily involved in terms of my body and health in college. I didn't really get that routine until like my junior year. So all that kind of just transitioned until, you know, when I got drafted. So right when I got here, like, I tapped into Sam. Like, Sam, he's been here for years, so I already knew he gonna have all the connections. So he put
Sam Hubbard.
So he put me on all his masseuses, chiropractors, acupuncturists. Bob put me on some people. Now I've been doing Pilates. So it's just a lot of things I do know.
How do you like Pilates?
I've actually never done it.
Actually, the first time I did it like 2 years ago.
I heard it's hard.
It just depends on what type of instructor you have. Like, I had a cool instructor, so she wasn't like forcing it too much.
Yeah.
You really go feel it. Like, next day you go feel it. It's like you like doing 707 like today. You go actually feel it.
Yeah.
But it just depends, but I like it.
So you feel like now heading into the season, you'll know, you know, December, that's kind of when my body's going to start.
Yeah, but
I'm
gonna stay ahead of it, though. It's like, why would I wait until December? And then, so it's just staying ahead of it and doing more than I did last year.
So you're pretty slight, right? How much do you weigh?
She did say you was little on the
comparing,
she tried to slide it in there real slick.
No, I mean, your draft pro. I'm basing this off your draft profiles, and I do all the research on you. You're clearly fast, which means you can't have a ton on you. So I'm not. It's a good thing.
I'm 195.
Do you have? Are you one of those guys that eats very healthy, and or do you have a chef? Do you have a chef?
It's so hard to like stay healthy. Like, I don't know how you eat, but it's like whenever I try to eat healthy, it's like 3 days, and then after that, I'm just fast food, like Chipotle, like, you know. So it just depends.
And that's what I want people to understand. I guarantee you, not a lot of athletes eat as healthy as y'all think we do.
We just naturally. We can get away with it.
We can. Like, you know, I'm not going to say, I'm sure, you know, some might be overdue, but for the ones that think we're fixed food, breakfast, lunch, dinner is healthy. No, it's not like that.
Well, what I've learned by observing is half your locker room is split on that. So, like, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson are very
on their diet.
They have chefs that drop the food off.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some other of you that just have amazing genetics. And the reason I asked is I used to work for the Falcons, and I remember being in the breakfast line with Calvin Ridley. You know who Calvin Ridley is? He's very slight and he's fast. Yeah. So nothing against slight, fast guys. But he ordered it before me, and I looked at him. I was like, Calvin, you can eat like that and be as fast as you are? He was getting like a biscuit and a big like egg sandwich. And I'm over here like, can I have my granola? But I just think it's fascinating that you guys are able to move as quickly as you do. But sometimes you don't even have to eat like super healthy.
Just all those calories that we do put in from eating bad, we're going to burn it off the next day. You know, our bodies are just in tune with getting that waste out of our system and knowing that we're athletes. So we have a certain, just certain way that our body reacts to different food.
Our body is just so used to, like you said, just always running on the go. So it's like our body is just so routine to just burn and look the same. Like it's, I can see, like, if you're out to leave, you retire, like, okay, you go get that beer belly. You go get that beer belly, but it's like, okay, you still in the league, you still active, even in the off season. I mean, your body is just not going to change the figure. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, who we are as athletes.
Well, it's pretty wild to see the transformation when, like, Joe Thomas, the offensive lineman, how much weight he lost, how quickly he lost it when he was done playing. Mm-hmm. So what's your guilty pleasure food?
I mean, anything that's chocolate-like. I don't know. It's just, I've always had a sweet tooth. I don't know.
Chocolate.
I don't know. Chocolate. It's just like, if I have a craving, I'm going to chocolate. I don't know what it is. I'm going to chocolate.
So do you keep a lot of chocolate in your house?
I do, actually.
Because you just going around eating.
Not chocolate, like Nutella. Like, are you a fan of Nutella?
I don't like Nutella.
You're not?
I feel like Nutella is pretty similar to our conversation about IKEA. I feel like Nutella is pretty split. Some people love it and some people don't.
I'm not a fan of Nutella.
I grew up eating chocolate. So it's like, that's my guilty pleasure. I can't even control myself. It's like, okay, if I want something, I'm going to chocolate.
I don't blame
him. Time we're in the Bengals locker room, the media is, I'm looking to see if there's like a Nutella can above Dax's locker.
Nutella, y'all gotta actually shout me out. Get some type of sponsorship or something.
So Nutella, what else?
What else? I love pasta.
Have you eaten at Soto yet?
Yeah, I was just there like a month ago.
It's good.
It was too dark for me though. I thought I was about to like pass out.
Where
was
it?
Sleep.
It's,
I was like,
super
where do you
dim.
Sit down?
What is it?
Soto.
Oh, I haven't been.
You know, I couldn't find it. It was so hard to find it.
Yeah, it's like underground. It's just a good Italian place, but their reserve, it's impossible. I mean, you probably have major pull, but for regular people, it's a like 3.5 month wait list for pasta.
For some.
That
pasta better be crazy there.
I mean, it was pretty good, but I don't think it's a 3 month wait. I just go to Kroger, get some pasta.
Whip it up yourself.
So can
put
you
that
cook?
Thing on the stove. I can a little bit. My fiance, she does most of it though.
Oh yeah, we totally buried the lead. Congratulations is due here.
Appreciate
a couple months ago too, wasn't it? Right before we started.
Shoot, right when we got done. Didn't waste no time.
Yeah, tell us about the whole. You know how you did it, where you did it.
I did it in St. Martin, so that's like 3 hours from Miami. We were there for like 5 days. I didn't know how I was gonna do it, so we got in, you know, going to a different country overseas. It's like, okay, you really got the passport, you really got to figure out, because they didn't speak English, so I didn't have like a taxi, all that set up. So yeah. I'm like on the side trying to like get people's attention. And there's all these people trying to, you know, get to wherever they're going. So we didn't get to the hotel till like 5-6 o'clock. Then we had a nice suite, you know, wanted to make it all, you know,
for sure.
Worth it, you know what I'm saying? Sure. So I had to get a nice suite. But that took like 30-45 minutes. So we were just waiting around, sitting around. So I was thinking about how I was going to do it while I was waiting around. So we get to the room. And so there's like restaurants near where the resort's at. So we get done with packing all our stuff up. So we were eating at this spot, and by that time, like, the sun's going down, sunsets already. And so by that time, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, okay, am I gonna do it on the beach? But it's too dark for the beach. And so we went around the resort. And the back of the resort, they had different things. They had cornhole. They had like infinity pool. They had ping pong. Then they had this pier you can walk out to. Then there's like this gazebo that lead out to the water. Right. So, and they had lights around it. So I'm like, okay, that's perfect. Like, it was dim, very dark. And then it had this illuminating gazebo. So we would just pull up to it. And that's where I did it. You know, I didn't really know how I was going to do it. I just freestyled off the head, but ended up.
Did she have an idea?
Huh?
Did she have an idea what's coming? Or?
Yeah. So we was actually, man, like, I kind of gave it away, but I didn't at the same time. Cause you know, you had to, meet up with the parents. Yeah. So we was both in Michigan. And so, I mean, I eat with the parents, but not like that. So it was like a 2-on-1 thing. She was like, why are you going with your parents? I'm going to eat with my parents. I'm like, I just wanted to sit down and talk to them. So she already knew.
She put two and two together.
She already put two and two together, but she didn't tell me to after, but she already knew. So yeah.
That's awesome that you asked her parents, because I feel like right now.
No, you're supposed to. That's just.
You're supposed to, but I know a lot of people that their fiancés didn't ask.
That's true. It's just it's just one of those things you have to do. You know what I mean? If you up and just ask her out the blue without asking the parents, I feel like it's
somewhat some disrespectful. Type of vendetta, like down the line, like it is kind of disrespectful.
It's kind of disrespectful because you know you taking their daughter like really away from them for good. You know what I mean? And I just feel like that's just something you have to do if you're gonna propose.
Was it hard to find a ring, or did she give you an idea of what she wanted?
I actually did my due diligence on it. I found someone downtown. Richard and Phillips.
That's awesome.
So it's
down here.
Oh, they barely got it to me because I was trying to take off like end of February. It didn't come to like a day before.
Were you nervous going through the airport with it? Like, what if it falls out of my pocket?
Well, I actually had a fanny pack. Like, I wasn't letting go of that fanny pack. Like, it was strapped around my chest the entire time. Like, I wasn't letting go of it.
That's awesome. Yeah. What, do you guys have any wedding plans? Are you getting, you know, when you're going to get married, or just kind of letting it be?
July 9th is the wedding date. Then for the honeymoon,
July 9th or next year.
In a month.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So after this is done, like, I'm heading straight to Michigan trying to plan all that. Like, it's coming up.
What are some things that, having gone to weddings, like, what do you really, if you had a list of like must haves for your wedding, do you have certain things that are very important to you?
I mean, really just kicking it with my guys. I got like 6 groomsmen, so it's like they all go be up. We're going to be on a boat. Her family has a boat, so we're just going to be on the water chilling.
Oh, that's smooth.
Then we probably just meet up with the bridesmaids that night, probably chill.
You going to write your own vows, or you going to do it the original vows?
I probably write my own.
Smart man.
That's
smart,
awesome. Man. That's,
you memorize yours?
What? I took a whole like 2 weeks just once I read it. I just can't.
I got to start right now because this thing is creeping up like quick.
You got to do it.
So I need to start on it.
Do you have an officiant? Because I have a pretty, I think someone sitting across from me be a pretty good wedding officiant. I don't know. I feel like you'd be really good at officiating a wedding.
I don't know.
That's the pressure though.
That is some pressure because you're going to have to direct everybody and make sure everything's, that's a lot.
She's sending someone off in a marriage as one. That's different, but I got I know some people in Florida.
Awesome. So, is your brother your best man?
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
You got to.
Just me. Some people have childhood friends that are really close to.
That's true.
So, and then you're going on your honeymoon, and this is all before training camp.
We don't really know when we're going to do the honeymoon. Probably after the season.
Yeah.
Because we just went out of the country.
Right.
So we're just going to plan on that.
Well, that's super exciting. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, so much.
You got a lot coming
up going on. What a big year for you. Getting married, taking over as the starter.
Yeah, I really just want to get all that done for a training camp so I can just log in the training camp.
Yeah.
Smart.
Well, congrats. That's awesome.
You
doing a DJ or a band?
So actually I know a few guys that had symphonies, like they had like an entire orchestra. Like, so I was like, do I want to go that route? I didn't. I just ended up having a DJ. So he's a pretty good DJ. He's out of Chicago.
The symphony would have been a smooth idea.
Huh?
I thought a symphony would have been a smooth
like
idea.
They had the harp everything.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was like, wow, that's real classy. I'm like, dang, I'm not sure if I could do that or not. Like,
cost a little money, but you know.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, I had to really take that to account. I'm like, should I really pay that money?
But it's a once, you know.
We just go have
a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah, nah, you really have to sacrifice for it.
That's awesome. A summer wedding, it'll be nice weather.
It's really nice in Michigan.
Yeah.
That's why we didn't really know where we wanted to do it at, but Michigan is really nice.
Are y'all doing it at church or like out somewhere?
It's going to be a venue. It's right by the water.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be inside, but everything else going to be outside. Reception going to be inside, obviously, but it's right by the water. So if you want to go outside, chill out.
Oh, that's smart.
It's going to be a nice little spot.
Oh, yeah. You got some stuff coming up, bro.
For real. Ooh. We still trying to plan for it because we got like over almost 200 people coming.
Wow.
So it's just like, man, I'm still trying to get everybody that I know from the crib, like, that's trying to come. So there's a lot of planning.
What a fun time, though. It's probably stressful, but
it is the best time.
That's
amazing. She asked me all these questions. I'm like, you take care of it. I don't want to do it. Like, just please, just take care of it.
So y'all ain't getting a wedding planner or nothing?
Nah.
Oh, y'all freestyling. Like,
bro, in Michigan, they were saying the minimum for a wedding planner is $25,000. I'm like, that's already over budget.
Ooh,
it's right. You know, I'm like, nah, I wouldn't try to do that. So I was like, nah, we're going to mitigate all that. We're just going to do our own thing and keep it within the budget.
Where'd you get married?
Back in Atlanta. I'm actually going into my fifth year in October.
So, is that what the Italy trip is for? Early anniversary?
Yeah, because we never really took a honeymoon. Well, we took like, I wouldn't consider going to like Cali or something, honey, like out the country type of honeymoon. So I wanted to surprise her with that for our fifth kind of anniversary. So we'll be leaving for that actually in 11 days. I'm excited. I'm ready.
I'll be living vicariously through your Instagram post.
Yeah, to that flight.
I'm out.
You
bro.
Out. I already
soon
know.
Soon as we leave the 17th, our last day here is the 16th. We're flying home to Atlanta, and next day we're flying out of Italy. So,
are you gonna head out right? Like they say, it's the last day of school for you guys, right?
It is last day. I don't know when I'm gonna do. I'm probably train here, but I'm probably go to Michigan, plan all the wedding stuff.
Are you training in inside?
Huh?
Do you train out in Michigan?
I was training. I'm just trying to figure it out. Like I was training in Tampa for the off season, but I train there whenever I'm there. But I'm gonna probably go to Black Sheep. I'm probably train there.
Nice. Yeah. So before we let you go, what's been your favorite part about being a part of the Bengals in Cincinnati so far?
Really, just the people. I just love being around like just different people, seeing how people. Just operate, you know, being in a different environment, you know, around grown men. It's just, okay, I want to admire him. I want to, you know, kind of mold my game after him. So it's been a real, you know, pleasurable experience, I would say. It's been ups and downs, obviously. That's with anything like in life. But it's been fun. I enjoy, you know, my time in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's kind of grown on me. Like last year, I didn't really know it had much to offer, but this year it's kind of good.
You really got to find it.
Like if you
really
find it,
there's
really
going to
be a lot of different things you can do. So I've enjoyed it so far.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm all good. We appreciate you, man.
I appreciate y'all for having me.
We wanted to give you. You know, let you have an opportunity to kind of open up. Like I said, you a soft spoken dude, so we want all the fans to really know who Dax Hill is and what he brings to the table. So
we appreciate
you coming.
Well, thanks for coming and good luck with your wedding.
Thank you so much. It's gonna be a lot, but I appreciate you. Appreciate it.